Welcome to the Lost Dot Podcast and the Transcontinental Race number 9, supported by our race partners Kinesis, Physique, Pedaled, Hutchinson, POC, Apadura, Komoot, and Peak Design. We pick up the action on day 2, Tuesday, the 25th of July. Later this evening, the first riders are expected to reach Control Point 1 in Livigno, Italy. The frontrunners have maintained fantastic pace, making their way over stunning, iconic alpine passes. David Eyre, race coordinator for the TCR number 9, is in control car 2.
We are making our way up the Gotthard Pass. We've just been passing a few riders. We're still on the Lucerne side, but yeah, making good progress. The top end of the race is looking really strong. We've also got the first pair who are right up near the top of the race as well, and that's great to see. And we've got Jamie Wilson as the leading woman, not too far behind them as well. So there's a lot of shifting dynamics, and we're about to enter some very different terrain to what we've seen so far. So excited to see what that brings.
Our team speak to some of the riders to find out how their race is going. Matthias Wojtek, Cap 68, is enjoying the adventure. He was inspired to try TCR after watching Fiona Kolbinger, a then newcomer to ultra-distance racing, become the first woman to win the race in 2019 at TCR number 7.
Today was awesome. Like, down Gotthard, tailwind, 30 degrees. Absolutely loved it. After 2 days of rain, and it's awesome. It was so much fun. Like, really, this race atmosphere. It's my first race, and
this is your first race?
Yeah.
Fantastic. And so why did you decide to race now?
I don't know. I started 2019 with like more cycling, like not just to work or so, and then I don't know. We just, every year we planned a bigger route, and then I heard the story of Fiona, and this kind of, I don't know, blew my mind. Also that you don't have to be a professional to do these kind of crazy things.
Back to the front of the race. Our leaders have navigated the first parkour, a mandatory section of road, and our team are waiting to see who will arrive first at Control Point 1 in Livigno. It could be one of three riders, all racing within a few hundred metres of each other. Christoph Strasser, Robin Champel, or Florian Moreau. Andrew Phillips, race director.
Yeah, I'm sat at Control Point 1 in Livigno at the moment, and we've got six really great volunteers here who are working in shifts to make sure that the control point is manned 24 hours a day. When the riders arrive, they know they're going to get a nice, friendly, professional welcome. They're going to get their brevets card stamped and get registered on our systems, and then they can go on their way. And we really couldn't run the race the way we do without our volunteers, not to mention the other 60 or 70 we have sat at home as dot watchers monitoring the race from their computers.
Around 10 p.m. local time, Robin Champel becomes the first rider to arrive at Control Point 1, but not before first riding straight past and having to turn back. He gets his brevet card signed by our volunteers. First question, what happened?
You know, there's a, I think it's because when you come straight, it's one way.
Yeah.
So I thought that, misread and saw that there's an easy up, like I saw on the Garmin that you can just take the next road.
Yeah.
And I was like, maybe the CP is up. But then I checked the Garmin again and said Livigno a bit further down. But now again, this wasn't planned to be here as the first guy. But I plan to go through Valmora. You know that part? It's basically the only part of the national park where you're allowed to ride your bike. And there's one gravel track that is rideable, but then still it's like, I'd say 6 or 5 Ks are not rideable, but still I believe it should be faster because you come out almost on top of Ofen Pass. So I will probably sleep 4.5 hours would be my goal one more time, and then see how tomorrow unfolds. I guess also makes sense still to invest a bit.
The next rider to Control Point 1 is Christoph Strasser, Cap 1 and last year's winner.
You don't have a down jacket with you?
No.
But I think that's fine, but I had to take everything I have. I was always in sight of Robin. Sometimes I was in front, sometimes he was in front. But I didn't see him stopping. He was just going on with his short pants. And I was shaking and stopping.
How much sleep are you aiming for tonight?
3 hours, I think.
Nice.
It's a little bit more, maybe, than other people, but yeah, to be safe. And if I am in good condition in the last days of the race, I can like go all in the last days. Yeah.
With the first few riders now through CP1, Andrew reflects on the difficult weather conditions and an exciting race along Parkour 1.
It's been cold up top, there's been intermittent rain, storms, even hailstones. So riders are arriving at CP cold, tired. It's 11 o'clock at night now, and both Robin and Christoph, I think, were looking forward to getting their brevet cards stamped and getting to bed. Yeah, it was really exciting watching Christoph, Robin and Florian all hit the pop-up parkour at about the same time. So when we caught up with them, they were within maybe a couple of hundred meters of each other. And by the time they got to the top, Robin and Christoph had switched places. Christoph was at the front, and Robin was maybe 50, 60 meters behind him. So they were literally racing each other on the road, able to see each other and respond to each other's paces.
Wednesday, July 26th, and a new day breaks. Those early arrivals at CP1 have all headed out of Livigno on their way to the second control point of this TCR in northern Slovenia. While some managed to find a hotel to get a few hours' rest, others were grateful for what they could get. Marin de Saint-Exupéry, cap number 3.
How much sleep did you get?
4 hours and a half.
Yeah.
Busy that?
I slept on some public toilets in some of these.
Nice.
That was really warm, perfect. That was really welcome. Yes, this morning it was even snowing on top of the Bernina.
Really?
Yeah. We were looking at the radar last night.
I was really happy to have toilet this night.
Today we'll see many more riders go through Control Point 1. They can choose to push on to the next challenge or stop and get a little rest and recuperation.
My name is Norbert Münch, and I'm the CP manager for CP1 this year. So I volunteered for, TCR 4, 6 and 8, actually. So this is my fourth time volunteering then. Yeah, at the moment, I mean, there's a good rush of riders coming in now. So, I mean, I left the control yesterday evening around, I think, midnight. So I saw Christoph Strasser come in, and I went back to the hotel to go to sleep. And now, since I've been here, you see, six riders now. No, total seven riders showed up. So and there's more on the way. And now we're sitting in the bar, which is pretty packed. We have riders here having breakfast, huge plates.
Which, pasta for breakfast.
Yeah, pasta for breakfast, exactly. So they pretty much ordered the whole menu up and down.
Maria Holdcroft, Cap 41, will be arriving at CP1 soon. She's made a fantastic start to TCR9 and is currently the second fastest woman in the race, behind Jamie Wilson. How is she finding the experience?
Good, I think. So I overslept my alarm in the first morning because I only set an alarm for Sunday, which wasn't helpful. but yeah, I'm really enjoying it. Like, I don't know, it feels kind of like an epic adventure, which I guess it kind of is.
So when do you hope to get to CP1?
I don't know, there's a lot of climbing between here and there. Maybe like 3 hours or so, 3-4 hours.
Are you keeping track of where you are in the race?
A bit. So in Italy, I could connect a bit, but I was mostly just chatting to my partner.
What are those conversations like with home?
He just mostly wants me to stop and take pictures because I'm really bad at stopping to take pictures. So he's like, take pictures and send them to me. He's doing like a parallel challenge, trying to get a group together to ride the distance and elevation of TCR over the same time period.
Lane Chambers, Cap 75.
So you were supposed to be racing as a pair with your partner Carolyn, and you've come along as a solo rider, is that right?
Yeah, she caught COVID, so just hadn't recovered enough to basically race. So I just decided to do it solo.
Yeah. How does it feel coming along and racing? So you quite often race as a pair, is that right? How does it feel coming and doing a race solo rather than as a pair?
I'm quite lonely. I spend most of my time pretending she's there. And it's usually her complaints as well. Like, if I say something's flat and it's not flat, I'll get an earful about it being actually quite hilly.
And are you missing that now?
Weirdly, yeah, I am. And just sharing the experience as well, like, whenever me and my wife cycle, I'm a bit more kind of, I'll take photographs of everything. After like several weeks, you will look upon it and think, wow, what an experience. And that's why I'm back after the, I did TCR7. And I remember saying, like, on plenty of occasions that, like, I'm never, ever doing this again. And here I am back. And now I'm saying, well, why didn't I listen to myself back then, you know? But, you know, like, yeah, 2 weeks after, I'll be, like, so happy I done it. And I'll be really fond of the memories.
Philip Hannock, Cap 271, has made it to Control Point 1, despite some mechanical issues.
It's been interesting so far. After 600 kilometers, I realized I was riding only with less than 30 PSI on my rear tire. So apparently I lost all the sealant in the rear.
Oh, no.
Then I broke my tubeless valve while I was fixing it. Now I'm on tubes. But the good thing was, it was at the restaurant. I was waiting for food and then I started pissing down right before the start of the parkour. So apparently I was dry when it started, obviously. No, it was really nice.
And how have you found the parkour?
The parkour was awesome, actually. I enjoyed it. I was lucky to see half of it in daylight. And then during the night, it was quite cold, but since there was a lot of climbing, I was warm the whole time. Then I slept at the bottom of the climb, which was really nice. At the church, it was really warm. But now the last one till the Vigno was tough. Headwinds.
Robert Muller, Cap 197, continues to ride well, and is now also making the long journey to Slovenia and Control Point 2. No off-road plans for him, though.
I froze my ass off because it was raining so much on the high mountains. Thank you. Yeah, and I was one time at a point where I had no motivation left, and and then something, when I wanted to get some water from a fountain, I did a strange movement and my right knee had immediately some pain, and afterwards I had a lot of pain in my right knee, but now it's better. Yeah, and then today in the morning in Silva Plana, it was raining again, 5 degrees, and I stopped for 2.5 hours again in a bus station, and I lost so much time. But I don't want to ride in the rain anymore, so when it's raining I stop and I don't care.
Are you opting for the road options rather than taking any off-road shortcuts then?
Yeah, no off-road, no. On the Axen, when I tried to avoid the Axenstrasse, it was horrible, the off-road part. No, I just go on roads.
Sherry Cardona and Gary Ontuz, Caps 334 A and B, are still the leading pair. A little way back, Sarah Ruggins and her partner, John Sowler, Caps 337 A and B, are making great progress too.
How are we doing? We're doing really well, actually. Our spirits are high. I hit a really rough spot at the top of Goddard. We had a really late climb to get to Andermatt last night. It was pouring rain. I was soaked through. I couldn't stop shaking. It was pretty horrific mentally. And then we did it again this morning, got to the top of Gotthard and over. Pleased to say we have since rallied since getting into Italy. The weather is beautiful. There is no rain clouds in sight. What's giving me strength right now? Probably three main things. The first one is seeing all the women ahead of me on the leaderboard. It's amazing to see them, and it's just an incredible inspiration to even be in the same race as them. So ladies, if you are listening to this, keep going. You are keeping me going. Second thing giving me strength, probably my race partner, John. Right now, for example, he is eating a ton of headwind for me to get me to the base of San Bernardino with relatively fresh legs, so I stand a chance of getting up in one piece. So just having him do that for me is amazing and keeps me going. Last thing that's keeping me going, I think, is just myself and the fact that I've worked very hard to get to this point. I have 6 months experience riding a bike. I wouldn't say I'm very good at it, but what's going through my head is persistence over talent. And just remembering how hard I've worked to get here is also giving me strength. So those are my top three.
Next time, we pick up the action in the second half of day three and on into day four of this year's transcontinental race. For some riders, there will be the challenge of trying to make it to control point one before the general classification cutoff time. For those at the front, there are more important routing decisions to make, the kind that can have a huge impact on a rider's race. You can find daily content from the race on our social media and read our daily reports from the road. Thanks to our race partners, Kinesis, Physique, Pedaled, Hutchinson, POC, Apidura, Komoot, and Peak Design.